think about this.
Our brains change.
Memory is an amazing.
What you think is in
our
there
brains
is
aren't
really
finished. They're not fully cooked yet.
You go with your heart.
We don't have any idea why we're doing
so smart.
Most of the things that we're doing. But here's the deal.
I'm Art Markman.
I'm Bob Duke.
I'm Rebecca McEnroy.
And this is two guys on your.
Today, swearing and kids.
There are different modes of speech that are appropriate for different social circumstances. And as an adult, you figure that out. So Bob is free to swear like a sailor in certain circumstances, but to rein it in other places. And as an adult, you learn, you know, we learn to do that kind of switching in all sorts of facets of our lives. And, mm-hmm. But kids don't know how to do that yet. They don't understand the social circumstances well enough yet. And so part of what we do when we make bad words a negative thing is basically say, let's just take this out of your arsenal until you're ready to use it. And so we create these taboos around it because better to err on the side of caution than to have your kid light out with a whole string of swears, you know, in church.
Well, but a lot of the definition of what's inappropriate and appropriate speech has to do with a long history, some of which has to do with things that make sense and some of which has things that don't make any sense at all. It just is interesting that what is deemed acceptable varies by time, it varies by setting. And most adults get to the point where you sort of decide, okay, in this environment, there is language that I'm not going to use. In most instances, when you find people who are creative in some domain of endeavor, they're breaking rules. They're not following what the expected conventions are. So it's understandable then that in other aspects of public discourse, in interacting with other people or whatever, that they will also tend not to pay as close attention to the conventions that may be expected.
And then what's interesting about this is that we then call these things bad words, right? And really, when, you know, if we hear somebody swearing in public, that signals something to us about who they are, what they think is important, what register they deem to be appropriate in that situation. So why do we call them bad words? Well, in part we do it because we also have this socialization function we have to create for younger people in society. And so these boundaries of what's appropriate to do in different situations, what's appropriate to wear, what's appropriate to say, they're complicated. The rules are subtle.
Yeah.
And you know, particularly with language, what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say in particular circumstances. And it takes a while to become sensitive to all of the social nuances that give you permission to say certain things or not. And so when we're raising kids, what we tend to do is just to make a blanket statement, don't ever use these words.
Yeah.
Where as an adult, what you really mean is don't ever use these words around me. Because if because we know kids are saying whatever they're going to say to each other on the playground, but by making it clear that they shouldn't say those words in adult company, you are protecting them and their ability to learn about the social environment before engaging in this much more complicated behavior.
You know, there's a different thing about this too, and I think it has to do with what individuals, including children, decide is okay for themselves. Right? I mean, one of the things that we do when we're raising children and have whatever mild influence we have on them while they're in our presence, right? We're pairing different kinds of feelings and attitudes with different things that they experience, including language, right? And if when you say a certain thing, it might not be even a swear word, it might just be speaking disrespectfully to an adult or whatever, and a caring parent comes down on you pretty hard for your, you know, lack of courtesy or whatever it happens to be, well, I would imagine that the intent is, well, I want you to feel bad when that happens. I want that bad feeling to be paired with this behavior on your part.
If we think about the child's environment, there's all sorts of things that are taboo, that are inappropriate to do either at that age or ever.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you think about, there's swearing, which is, you know, from most adults' perspective, a fairly minor transgression. And then there are more major things, right? I mean, so as kids, you know, reach the preteen and teen years, you've got smoking and drugs and sex and all sorts of other things, some of which will become appropriate at a particular age and some of which we may never want them to do, right? So we don't necessarily want a kid ever to start smoking, right? Because it's just bad for you. So one of the things about creating a set of taboo behaviors is to try to protect the things you really don't want them to be doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, you know, as a child reaches an age at which they begin to see people doing things that make them uncomfortable more generally, kids who are sneaking off to have a cigarette or, you know, older kids who are experimenting with drugs or sex or whatever, a child who really doesn't want to contemplate that neighborhood of bad behavior can hold the line on swearing as a way of staying really far away from that kind of behavior. And as parents, by holding the line on swearing, part of what you're doing is saying, this is where the boundary for bad behavior is, as far as I'm concerned. So we don't want you going any further than that. Because in many ways, right, all kids are going to transgress a little bit. They're going to push boundaries and things like that. If the only boundary you ever create is around legitimately dangerous behaviors, what you're saying to the kid is, you can't test boundaries with me until you're actually in danger.
Yeah.
And in many ways, I'd rather that you push your boundaries about things that, frankly, I don't care that much about.
This is not something that is typically thought through carefully by parents, that this is what I'm intending to do and I'm doing this because I'm going to. But in effect, that is what takes place when we do that.
Next week, we'll talk about how to apply for jobs with Dr. Art Markman and Dr. Bob Duke. To check out this and other episodes of Two Guys, go to KUT.org. I'm Rebecca McEnroy, and I produce Two Guys on Your Head at KUT Radio in Austin, Texas.